News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.
European leaders will hold online talks with US President Donald Trump today, hoping to convince him to respect Ukraine's interests when he discusses the war with Russia's Vladimir Putin in Alaska on Friday. And I'm joined now by Nicholas Vinokur, Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent at Politico Europe, for more on this. Good morning to you, Nicholas. What would you be predicting that European leaders are going to say to Donald Trump later today?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I think that European leaders are going to tell Trump to abandon the idea of land swaps in this peace deal. Trump has entertained this, saying that there's going to be some trading of land as part of any peace deal. But the Europeans have been adamant since the start that it doesn't work, primarily because the Ukrainians don't have much land to give to the Russians. What that would mean would essentially unilaterally giving up some of their own land, which the Russians haven't conquered yet. And that's kind of a non-starter. They'll tell them to put more pressure on Russia, do secondary sanctions, make Putin finally feel some pain. He's been very resistant to do that. And they'll echo some of the Ukrainian demands. Return those 20,000 kidnapped children, return the prisoners of war, and give Ukraine some security guarantees so that Putin doesn't invade again at the first chance he gets.
Okay, so no to land swaps, increase sanctions, give us back our children, give us back our prisoners, and security guarantees. How amenable do you believe Donald Trump is to any of those things?
Well, I think it's a good sign that he's engaging with the European leaders to begin with. You got to remember, just a few months ago, he was talking to Putin one-on-one and wouldn't speak to the European leaders, didn't think they had much stake in this. Now, things have changed over the past few months. Simply the facts on the ground. Europe now bankrolls the war and supports Ukraine's state almost single-handedly. The U.S. gives very little money. So a collapse there would be bad for America, and he knows that. We've also got the frozen assets, $200 billion of Russian frozen assets in Europe will probably be part of some final settlement. That said, you look at the last statements that Trump has made about the war, about the peace deal, not super encouraging. One, he's talking about land swaps. Second, he's described it as, or his team has described it as, a listening exercise. Listening exercise doesn't sound like you're imposing conditions and demands on Vladimir Putin.
No, and that has been sort of the concern all along. I think it's probably fair to say, Nicholas, that Trump seems to be in some way enthralled to Vladimir Putin, speaks about him and to him in a very different way to how he might speak to Vladimir Zelensky.
Well, that's a $64,000 question. Why is Trump so deferential to Vladimir Putin? I think people have wondered about that one for years. We won't get an answer today. But it comes across in so many statements that he's made. Just recently, he was describing the Russian invasion of Ukraine and said, well, they got stuck in the mud. They didn't get stuck in the mud. They were fought off by a determined defense force in Ukraine that forced them back. Why constantly manage Vladimir Putin's ego in this process? It is a mystery. I don't have the answer for you, but it's problematic for the end of this thing.
Do you expect, Nicholas, the U.S. president and the European leaders to come to any kind of an agreement today on this call, or any kind of, a joint position? They seem to be quite at odds on their view on the Russian-Ukrainian conflict.
I think the Europeans have done their best to coordinate. There was a statement from 26 countries, the odd one out always being Hungary, which so the Europeans have done their best to coordinate and show a common front and kind of coalesce these demands that I described before. The question is, will Trump convince Putin to stop attacking Ukraine? And that one, I think my sort of optimism for a deal has probably gone down in the past 48 hours. The fact that they are meeting in person would suggest that there has to be a deliverable. Something has to come out. Why else would he travel to Alaska and give Putin this fantastic platform. He's coming out of international isolation to meet the U.S. president. You would expect that the U.S. would need for something to come out.
Yeah.
But calling it a listening exercise, to me, is not a good sign.
Okay. And very lastly, if Trump and Putin have a meeting and it's pleasant between them and they turn around and they say, well, we've agreed terms, and the terms include we keep Crimea, we keep the Donbass, you know, all of those types of things come from that. Where does that leave Ukraine and the European Union afterwards if the US unilaterally makes concessions on the part of Ukraine that neither Ukraine nor the EU want to follow through on?
In short, it leaves them in a terrible place. Mm. And it's the nightmare scenario that Trump is going to agree some kind of fantastical deal over the heads of the Europeans. It will leave us dealing with a bad situation, the Ukrainians dealing with a bad situation, and being responsible for paying for it. For paying for the continuation for Ukraine security. But if you look at recent history, what Trump has been able to impose on NATO, on defense spending, in the trade deal with the EU, which was not to the EU's advantage, the pattern is imposing things on the Europeans and the Europeans accepting it. So I would bank on that.
Okay. A pessimistic finish there to all of this. Look, thank you very much for joining us. We do appreciate your analysis. That is Nicholas Vinokur there, Chief Foreign Affairs Correspondent at Polit.
News Talk Breakfast with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7 on News Talk.